Wonderful, wonderful. Here we all are. Good afternoon or good evening, everyone, wherever you are in the world. Beautiful day. I've just got off the phone with someone. Who have we got on the call today? Yeah, noises. Nick will be joining us moment.
I'm here.
Are you there, bro?
Yeah.
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, yeah. Just feeling really good and very focused. Super productive day already. And, yeah. Doing great. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Very inspired. It's always a joy to be on these beautiful live calls with our superheroes. So, today we've got a few questions, as always, and if any of you guys who are on this live have any questions, you can put them in the box if you're on the webinar. We always love to have those new questions. So, let's first of all just kick it off with a moment of silence. Father Nick, would you like to guide us in a few breaths?
You want me to guide?
Yeah.
Okay then. So yeah, let's take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths and just really focus on the exhalation, just surrendering and letting go. Just really opening our hearts in tenderness and really connecting with that amazing presence within us. Soft, gentle, deep breaths. Yeah, and then just bringing a little more focus onto the inhalation with that intensely focused and burning faith right within it all, the Nizche. Yeah, just touching that love, just allowing yourself to settle back and relax, and just forget about the day and the world, and just get into that superhero state of consciousness with us. And over to you, Brother Michael.
Beautiful. Thank you, brother. So, just first of all, wanted to congratulate everyone who's here on the call today because you guys are amazing. We love you superheroes because out of all the people in the world and so many people coming to our website and checking stuff out and into spiritual development, but not many really take it to the next level and actually start applying this and really going for it. So I just want to really share my sincere appreciation for you and all the work you're doing on yourselves and what a wonderful influence that's going to be having and is having on everyone around you, everyone in your life and everyone in the world, because we are interconnected and every single thought you are having is going out and is affecting everyone else, no matter how far away they are right now, and that is extremely powerful thing for us all to recognize, that we're not just wandering around having our private thoughts. Our thoughts and feelings and vibrations are directly and instantly going out to the four corners of the universe and affecting everything at the exact same moment that we are feeling them. So that's a little bit of a wake up call to make sure our thoughts are good, pure, clean, beautiful thoughts, but also just to recognize and appreciate you guys for all this wonderful work you're doing, and I'm sure you're experiencing many wonderful, beautiful things as you go through this journey. And Nick and I were just doing another video for you guys yesterday, very, very deep video, and you're going to really enjoy that, I'm sure. And one of the things we were sharing in that video is that in this process of transformation, you will definitely come across your ego, you'll come across resistance from parts of yourself that don't want to change. Your mind will be racing, you'll probably be having various reactions to some of the new ideas you're learning, and that's perfectly natural and nothing to worry about at all. So just really allowing you to recognize that it's perfectly fine if you're ever experiencing any levels of stress or confusion. In fact, it's a very, very good sign. It means that you're moving out of one thing and moving into a new way of being, and that's extremely healthy and natural. So I'm just mentioning that because we know from our own personal experience, as well as talking to you guys and doing all these courses, that that's part of the process. So don't give yourself a hard time at all if you ever go through these ups and downs. Perfectly fine. And as you continue on this journey, everything becomes smoother and smoother, easier and easier. And these, what otherwise might be big ups and downs, big dips and big dramas, will become very manageable, and you'll be able to deal with them much, much more easily. So no worries, nothing to worry about there. Isn't that right, brother?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's very natural that we can have ups and downs, and stuff's going to come up, and it's an intense time. It's a very intense time. And I think everyone's feeling it, and just follow the protocols, and really, after a while, it gets to that, it's kind of an indicator when you're out of sync, when you're basically not practicing what we're suggesting, and when we're not practicing what we're offering, that's when we get our asses kicked, and it's pretty obvious. And so we just know when we're out of sync, and we can use the protocols to get back in there.
Yeah.
And it's lovely.
Easy. And I can just share from my own experience, before I started doing all this stuff that we're sharing with you personally, before I was on my own journey, I would say that I was experiencing maybe about 80% unpleasant feelings and maybe 20% pleasant feelings in my average day. And now I would say it's more like 95 to 98% happiness and about 2% drama. and that's quite an achievement. So if I can turn it around to such a massive amount, then there's no reason anyone else can't, because we're all basically in the same boat. And ultimately it's just a decision that it doesn't matter what's going on, just keep your state, stay happy, and have the best day ever, no matter what. So, let's just play a few questions that we've already got so far. Gonna have a quick peek here. What have we got?
I'm looking at the ones.
All right. Yeah, I've got one.
There's one.
Do you want to go for it, bro?
Yeah, you're the one about David Icke.
Yeah, why don't you take that one? Yeah.
Okay, so basically, we're being asked here about, whether or not to read, whether we recommend reading David Icke's books, or is it better to not read them and maintain themselves his or herself in a in immersed in a what he's saying is a positive mind frame. And goes on to say he started reading The Biggest Secret after David Wolfe mentioned something relating to his personal affairs. And this is one of David Icke's books called The Biggest Secret. And he's saying it's a scary read, although my mind is shifting to processing it as information and not attaching feeling to it. And he started reading it in June and then left it and is asking should they continue. Well, it's a good question. This is from Muniza. Sorry, Muniza, in Stamford, Connecticut. So, well, I think there's a cautionary note here. Because this is subject's come up before, and you know, there's various perspectives. I wouldn't recommend anyone reading any of that information or anything even remotely resembling that super hardcore conspiracy information without being capable of being centered in soul consciousness and being able to enter that higher state of consciousness at will. Because this kind of info is extremely disturbing. What we have the benefit of now with the internet is these kind of researchers like David can condense just about all the worst news in the world into, you know, one page on a website, and we can read it all, everything, the worst of the worst, and that's usually what it is. And so this is extremely disturbing. Because it's very, very shocking, and in all honesty, it's you know, virtually the worst manifestations of evil, you know, that are being expressed in the world of form. So if we expose ourselves to that, you know, we get into that, we let that information in us, and we you know, see the images that are associated with it, and it's extremely disturbing. Now, depending on who you are as an individual, you're going to be more or less likely to be attracted to that kind of information. And that's part of your dharma. Michael and I are kind of, you know, in a way opposites in this. He's not particularly attracted to it, but he does have a peep at it. To keep himself informed. I, on the other hand, have researched it in depth and have been very attracted to it and fascinated by it. But that's, you know, that's us two as a team facilitating this superhero training. So it's kind of a good balance. There's no need for us both to be doing this. And one can focus on one thing while one can focus on another. So you have to make up your mind where you're at. But if you're going to have a look at it, then take plenty of breaks from it and absolutely detach from that mindset and that consciousness. Because basically, what Ike is saying, what he's highlighting, the way he's presenting the structure of the matrix and everything is very, very powerful and wonderful information. He's highlighting the fact that everything's frequency and vibration, and that there are manipulating powers in the world that want you to be vibrating on a frequency of fear. But at the same time, he's supplying you with the most terrifying information available on the planet to, you know, to sort of illustrate his point. So, you know, it's going to do what it does if you let it in there. You know, you're basically, you know, sipping tea with the devil when you look at that stuff. And it's going to be extremely sobering and extremely disturbing. And you need to have a very stable and strong psyche to be able to handle this stuff without it, you know, upsetting you and also, in a way, possessing you, because the frequency and the vibrations, the level of consciousness that he's highlighting is extremely low. It's extremely mind-blowing, but it's also extremely low-frequency stuff. So, you know, beware, be careful, and, you know, don't become obsessed with it. The biggest secret is, you know, just one of his books. And he's probably, and one of the books I would recommend to David Icke is something called The Truth Vibrations, which was his very first book, which sort of highlighted a much more uplifting and solution-oriented spin on the whole thing. And then he kind of got focused on the dark side a lot more, exposing the dark side. So just, I'd say, you know, you want to be 2%, if you're interested in that information, 2% of your time spent studying literature could be devoted to that, 98% of the time to immersion into all that high frequency stuff, because you know, we don't need to keep reading over and over and over and over and over to prove to ourselves that evil is running amok in the world. You know, it's very, very obvious. What do you got to say, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with that, you know, full-heartedly. I think it's highly addictive, you know, like any hardcore stuff that, you know, people get addicted to drugs or pornography or whatever else. Anything that's super hardcore is, you know, is addictive somehow to our psyche. As human beings, we're able to get affected by this. I remember when I started getting my head into conspiracy theories, thanks to Uncle Nick here. And I remember checking out the London bombings, because I was in London in 7/7 London bombings. I was there in London when that happened. I wasn't in the middle of it, but I was trying to get into London, but I couldn't. I was stuck because all the transport stopped. But I was checking out about that, and I remember spending hours and hours and hours and hours, day and night, of all these videos and stuff on YouTube, and it totally spun me out, and I found myself highly addicted to it and just, like, wanting more and more and more until I realized what had happened to me, and then I just, like, snapped out of a trance. And I'm glad that I did, because it was just pulling me further and further down this funny rabbit hole that was really highly disturbing. And was actually bringing me off track from my own spiritual practice and my own truth and my own empowerment. So it's very dangerous. I think we can just look around in the world, look at people's faces and see that this is a world of misery. We don't necessarily need to know the details of all the gruesome things that are happening all over the place. And if you think about the news, people who watch the news every day, the news is pretty much all bad news anyway, just like CNN or BBC News or any kind of news, it's mainly bad news. So the conspiracy stuff is bad news times by about 1,000. So you're getting like, so if you don't believe in watching the news in general, then you certainly wouldn't want to be watching the worst of the news, because that's just like an extreme version of it. So I think it's good to have the attitude that, you know, everything is happening for a reason, and that you, superheroes, are part of the solution. You are solving the problem. So
that's right. And sorry, Mike.
Yeah, the whole point of the superhero training is to become part of the solution. We already know there's a problem. There's evidence of the problem. Every single place that you look, you can find the problem. But we are part of the solution. You are part of the solution. And your lifestyle, your thoughts, your actions, your energy, your words, projects that you create, everything you're doing is towards solving it. So really have that self-respect. And be full on with the solution.
Yeah, and you can't be an embodiment of the solution unless you're completely vibrating in that other frequency state. And it's very difficult to do that when you're, you know, when you've absorbed all of this information. I personally hung out with David Icke I've known him ever since he first started his crusade, and I visited his house, and I hung out with him for hours on end, and he was, when I was hanging out with him, let's see, it was just before I came to America this time, so it was a fair while ago. The last time I was with him was about 9 years ago or something. And, he was really, I actually interviewed him for the website, for Success Ultra Now, in the early days. And the interview was so bad, I didn't even put it on there, because he was just coming from such a negative, critical, judgmental, depressed, and angry place. And it wasn't inspiring in any way, shape, or form. The information that he was supplying was mind-blowing, some of it, but it wasn't vibrationally, it was low-frequency stuff. So it's no point in bitching about evil and, moaning about this and moaning about that. You have to be the embodiment of the solution. You literally, vibrationally, every one of your cells, your whole being, has to be on a different frequency, functioning on a different vibrational frequency and wavelength. So you literally live in another reality. You don't experience this low frequency thing. And what Mike was saying there about the addictive nature of this stuff is it's absolutely fascinating, because it really hits you in the lower chakras. And somehow these manipulators of reality are extremely skilled at creating vibrational content visually and through sound that really sucks us into it like a black hole. And you don't want anything to do with that, because it's absolutely not a joke. It's an extremely disturbing experience, and it's a very, very, very powerful vortex that has tremendous seductive magnetism. And this information, and most of the individuals that are promoting this information, are vibing to a degree in that way. And that's not a criticism of the champions of conspiracy theory and what have you, but it's just an observation, an honest observation, of what happens when you digest constantly a certain kind of information. It's just like eating a certain kind of food. If you eat hamburgers every day of your life, you are going to, sooner or later, be vibrating in a very dead way. And it's exactly the same with this kind of information. If you constantly absorb low-frequency information, you are going to be vibing in a low-frequency way. So we need to be aware and be careful. And I just want to say again that this is not a criticism of these individuals. And David Icke is unique in all of these conspiracy researchers, in the sense that he's actually had a very high-frequency spiritual experience himself, which catalyzed a great awakening and literally jolted him onto another level of consciousness. And the fact that he has been ostracized by conventional society for around 20 years, or for the last 5 years, much, much more accepted, but for 10 or 15 solid years, he was the absolute laughing stock of Great Britain. And he was vilified and pilloried all over the place. And so the fact that he was ostracized and his spiritual experience has kind of given him a unique kind of education, where he's able to just, stand in his own truth. And he's starting to shine a very, very, very good light. But that's David Icke, with a very unique experience and a tremendous amount of, years behind him. And also, that very, very, very powerful experience. So just to kind of wrap it up for the superheroes, if you're drawn to it, check it out, but take your breaks from it, and then go and immerse yourself in higher consciousness, in your own spiritual practice, in everything that we're giving to you to do. Go and spend time in nature. Let go and absolutely connect with the other side of it, with the truth vibrations that are here, with the new world that is here, with this Christ consciousness that is here, with all the good news that is here, all the higher frequency stuff that you can experience just like that. Make sure you do plenty of that before you go back in there and check it out again. Don't do what most of us do, because we get sucked into it through the sort of morbid fascination and the magnetism, the hypnotic magnetism of it, and that's, you know, stay up all night and all day and just read this stuff and YouTube it for days on end, weeks on weeks and weeks and weeks, months and months and months, and years and years and years. That's the fast track to get you extremely paranoid, especially if you're imbibing mind-altering substances while you're doing it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, the bottom line is don't play with fire, you know, because you're going to get burnt. That's really what it comes down to. And David Hawkins, who I have, you know, tremendous love and respect for, he's calibrated the conspiracy theories, and he basically puts them all on about 165 on his levels of consciousness, roughly, you know, overall, which is below integrity and, you know, not coming from the highest place. So, the rule of thumb is expose yourselves to things that are high vibration. That's really what it comes down to. High vibration, yeah. Books, nature, music, people, and everything else is high vibe, and you're going to be good to go. Because you're not going to save the world by watching YouTube videos about conspiracy theories, that's for sure. So anyway, we've got another question. What about meditation and getting up in the morning? So what sorts of things can I do to prepare myself to have the most effective meditation in the morning? I find myself struggling with the practice because either my mind is going every which way, I can't get comfortable in a meditative position, or I feel like I can't get my breath to go deep. How long did it take you guys to work this out for yourselves? Love and blessings. It's a very good question. You know, this is, I'm sure all of you are probably having this issue if you're trying to get up early in the morning for meditation. I have personally struggled with this for some time. In various times it's easier, various other times it's more difficult. But here's a few things that I definitely do that work, and when I don't do them, everything falls apart. So first thing is that if you want a good meditation in the morning, the meditation in the morning is completely dictated by the meditation in the evening. In my experience. So if you want to have a good morning session, you really need to have a good evening session. And for you to have a good evening session, you need to have had a good day and a good morning session. So in a way, it's a catch-22, because which affects which. But whatever happens, just take the time in the evening to really have that soul connection with yourself, to, you know, do the meditations that we've recommended you guys listen to. Read any inspiring spiritual books that bring you joy. Do the breathing. Maybe have a bath. Do visualization. Do all the practices we've mentioned to you that are bringing you joy. And get super clear on what you want to experience in the morning before you go to bed. Like, this is so important, that before you go to sleep, you have an extremely clear image of what's going to happen in the morning. So, for example, I would recommend that when you wake up, this is a vision that you'd be having before you go to bed, that you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to get out of bed and you're going to put some water on your face or something to wake you up a little bit. Bring your blanket or whatever you like to wrap yourself up in, or your shawl or whatever, however you want to be, and sit down somewhere that is as comfortable as it can be without it being too comfortable, so that you don't fall asleep, but you're also comfy. Have the lighting right. You know, like, I've got various different lights, different colored lights, different little lamps. I've got all funny little things because I like different lighting. It shouldn't be too bright. It shouldn't be so dark that it's almost black. But go, it could be a candle. But just get the lighting right, get it all set up before you go to bed. And then when you're sitting down for your meditation, what kind of meditation are you doing? Are you listening to one of the CDs or the MP3s we've given you? Have you got some mantras that you're doing? Are you just focusing on your breath? Are you doing some prayers? What are you actually doing in the meditation? What do you want to experience? This is really important. I have a piece of paper, like a piece of card that I leave on the floor that says, what beautiful experience do you want to have in this precious time? I've written it down. What beautiful experience do you want to have in this precious time? Well, I see that thing on the floor, and it triggers me to remember, why am I doing this? Because we're not just sitting down for meditation just to kind of tick off on our list that we did meditation, you know, and feel good about ourselves because we sat down. That's not what it's about. It's about having wonderful experiences. It's about going really, really deep into your inner world. It's about exploring consciousness. It's about feeling happiness and joy and enthusiasm and purifying energy into your cells and to connecting with God and to feeling bliss and to feeling amazing. And I love meditation because what it gives to me and the effect it has on my state of being. So I've got a very, very clear reason to do meditation, very, very clear why I'm doing it. So I recommend you really work that out before you even bother doing anything, especially in meditation. What do you want to experience? So there you are, late at night, you've had some meditation, you've got a really, really clear vision of what you want to experience in the morning. Then you fall asleep, and I would recommend that you imagine yourself, and we talk about this more and more as the training goes on. I'm not sure everyone's at different places on the training now, but we talk about this world of light where we come from, the world from where the soul originates. It's a world of beautiful light. And I personally aim to sleep in that light. So I imagine myself leaving the body, going into this beautiful light, and sleeping in the light. That's the last thoughts I have before I go to sleep. And then when I wake up, it's as if I've come down from another world into the body. I've got a clear idea of what I want to experience. I go and sit down at the place that I know is going to bring me joy, with the blankets or shawls or whatever, with the lights, everything nice, so that I'm comfortable. And then I'll practice the meditation, enjoy the experience, or listen to something, or whatever it is that I wanted to do. And so everything is really clear and precise and beautiful and thought out and easy and natural and smooth and fun. And that way, your experience that you have is going to be something that's exciting to you, that actually brings you a lot of joy. And, you know, if you're sort of person that's super tired in the morning, you can just, you know, get up, maybe jump on the rebounder a little bit, you know, shake a little bit, shake your hands and feet, throw some water on your face. You know, do a few little stretches or something just to wake you up a bit more. Take a few fast breathing, you know, the fast nostril breathing, fire breath. That'll wake you up a bit, and then you can get into it. And then the main thing is just be clear and use the meditation stuff we've given you to listen to, which makes it easy, some pop or the inner self-image or the breathing meditation. And we've got more and more stuff coming for you as well. So that's it really, and really enjoy it. Take the time to be focused and to enjoy the experience. So I hope that answers your question, and any of you who, you know, didn't ask that but haven't been having the best ever experiences, just follow those few things. Be super clear before you go to sleep. Get your place that you're going to meditate really nice and tidy and neat and feels good and nice lighting. Then go there with purpose and really get into it, really enjoy it. And your whole day will be so much more beautiful, graceful, easy, clear, and you'll feel amazing. And I also recommend that you visualize the day before you and imagine having the best day ever in your mind before you even do anything else, because that's going to affect what actually happens in your day. So these are very practical things that have a profound effect on your life. Do you have any things to say about that, bro?
No, it's, I think you've got it all in a nutshell there. I probably would just, one little thing that I always like to just bring a little attention to when it comes to the subject of meditation. What is meditation anyway? What are we even doing? And I like what you were saying there, you know, about deciding on what experience you have. And at the end of the day, you know, all of these questions, you know, you're a bit uncomfortable, the position and, you know, the breath and, you know, the mind's going this way and that and the other. In this experience, you're basically, you know, preparing yourself, creating a little container where you can actually touch into the presence of God, where you can touch into the presence of your pure spirit of life that is just there to illuminate you and to just enliven you. And so all of these details, you know, technique, posture, all the rest of it, are really secondary to an experience. And that's really set up by your attitude. And if you can approach that in absolute humility and love and surrender, and really reach out with your heart. It's a heart union. I remember some of the Raja Yoga guidelines used to study a while ago. It was a lot of the really hardcore yogis that have been, you know, got 30, 40, 50, 60, even 70 or 80 years in the practice. You know, they talk about pulling, you know, magnetizing God towards you with a great love. So I think the magnetism for the experience comes from the heart, and just making sure that you've got that right attitude going, and that you enter into it, you know, seeking a real experience of communion rather than some sort of technical, you know, practical, you know, kind of training session. That's why we're always emphasizing that combination of awareness and attitude going together. But just do your best and don't worry about anything. And like Mike was mentioning, we just did an amazing video yesterday that you're going to be getting quite soon. And, you know, we go into this stuff in a lot more detail and share some experiences with you. So there's nothing, you can't do anything wrong. Your intentions are really good. You're on this course, and you're bound to get the benefits from it. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Enough said, bro?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's move on to this next question.
Huh?
And this is another very famous subject. Money. Is supposed to be the touchiest subject ever. I remember reading in one of the success books how people would, I suppose they were talking mainly about men, would gladly discuss the deepest secrets of their sex life rather than revealing anything about their financial situation or world. So money is a very, 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 very touchy subject for many people. So this good lady is talking about the fact that she's been working with an intuitive and energy coach for a month now, and they were talking about money, And she's in the process of clearing her goals around money and quote-unquote plugging leaks. This is what she says. My husband and I, sounds like the Queen of England, have had some issues around money as well. He earns it, has the wrong energy about it. I spend it, but energetically think about money in an abundant way. However, she, meaning the energy coach, said something that really caught her attention. Money is energy, but money is matter too. Even though you have it down pat energetically, that means she's got a good attitude energetically, you need to work on the matter side of it. And she's asking us, what are our thoughts about this? What are our thoughts about the energy and matter on everything else in life? So I'll let Mike kick off with that. What are your thoughts about this, Michael? And money, energy, and matter. Does it matter, bro?
Yes. It's a wonderful topic. We love this. And money is something that is a bit of an elusive thing. And a lot of people really don't know what money actually is, because there's this concept, like, for example, how many people would love to have $1 million? Somehow the idea of having $1 million sounds like a good thing, like $1 million in cash sounds wonderful to a lot of people. But if you think about what money actually is, it's not even cash nowadays so much as it is credit card, like plastic cards. Like, I find it fascinating that I go into health food shops, and I get my nice little salad, and I get a few goodies, and I'm going to go out and sit on the beach and have something to eat. And I've got something that I can actually eat and sustain me. And I hand over the person this plastic thing, and they swipe it, and I press a few buttons on a thing, and I go away with my goodies, a box of goodies. And what did they get in return? They got some funny swipey thing. You know, it's just really quite a trip when you think about what just happened there, you know, and like, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, of course, so we do it every day. But have you ever thought what's going on there, you know? So, back in the old days, it used to be that people would swap, like, I have a goat, you can swap a goat for, like, a chair or something, you know, and a bunch of vegetables or something. You'd have to swap physical things. And then, of course, money was invented so that it became easier to do, to exchange things. And it used to be backed on gold, so you can actually swap the money and get a piece of gold. And now it isn't based on that. It's just backed basically by nothing. So what it is, this is just a nice way of looking at money. Money is essentially value that has been frozen, in a sense. It's value in transit. It's like it's on, it's like a train. It's like you have this potential energy that can be turned into something like a computer or a house or a piece of, you know, bread or a salad, you know, or a superhero training or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is in your card. It's like this in-transit frozen substance that hasn't really got any value in itself. It can't be used by itself. And then it gets turned into something real out the other side of it. So money is just this thing that's supposed to move and be converted into something real. If you start looking at money in that way, that it's money is something to be invested into real things that bring you back massive benefits, then you start having a much more healthy relationship with it. So every time you use your card and every time you get cash, you think, how can I turn this funny energy stuff called money into something genuinely valuable to me that's going to bring me back tremendous value, tremendous joy, going to bring me education, going to bring me benefit in my life? Like, if you're on the superhero training, you paid for this training. This training is going to help you on all levels of your life. So you've turned your cash, which is sitting around not doing much, into something valuable that's going to affect you every day of your life and make a huge difference. So that's a very good investment. So think about every single thing you buy in terms of you're turning this energy inside your credit card or inside your debit card. Hopefully no one has credit cards because they're dangerous things. I recommend you rip them up, stop using them. And you're turning this energy into value. So start looking at your money as an opportunity to invest in things that are going to bring you greater energy. So money is turned into material things or services that give you back greater amounts of energy than what you invested. And most people don't do that. They waste their money. They got their stuff on their card. They spend it on stuff that drains them, that doesn't bring them anything back. They spend it on food that makes them sick. They spend it on products that don't work. They spend it on things like massive TVs that are just putting them with junk. But most people are wasting this thing called money on stuff that brings them down, sucks the life out of them, rather than investing that same energy on something that brings them up, like amazing books or courses, or if you buy a computer, why are you getting it? Can you use it in a way that's going to bring value to you and to everyone else? So start seeing it as this fascinating energy that can be converted into value. So everything you buy from now on, use it to bring you greater joy. If it doesn't bring you greater joy and doesn't increase the quality of your life, don't buy it. Don't waste it. And ultimately, the same goes for everything you have. Like, we've got, you know, chairs and computers. I'm looking around at stuff and CDs and printers, and I'm currently in my office. There's lots of books all over the place and music equipment and lampshades and blah, blah, blah. Just, you know, obviously things and lights and everything. And essential oils and random things. Now, everything here, I value these things. Like, I look after the computer that I use because I want it to work for me. I look after the plates I have. I keep things clean. Everything is energy. So I recommend that you guys really value the stuff that you have, because the first step to greater wealth is to appreciate what you already have now. You know, look at all the good stuff you have. And one of the best ways to actually increase the wealth that you have and increase the feeling of abundance in your life is actually to get rid of 80%, that would be good, but get rid of 20% of your stuff. And as soon as you start getting rid of things, the lowest quality 20% of what you have, give it away to people or sell it or throw it away if it's junk, you start clearing out dead energy, and you also start noticing all the wonderful things that you actually have that you might not notice. Every time I go through, I do this all the time, pretty much every month I get rid of 20% of what I own, of what I have available to me, and it's such a joy. And every time I look at my bookshelves and I go through stuff, I start getting excited about some of the books that I have read that I've not even looked at. So you bring your energy, you bring your awareness, you bring your attention to the physical things in your house, and you ask yourself, is this the highest quality? What is the vibration of this book? What is the vibration of this desk? What is the vibration of this chair? Where's the vibration of everything, this clothes? If it's not vibing super high, remove it from your life. Just liberate it. And as you do that, you'll start to have a very different relationship with physical things, with money, with success. And you'll actually start feeling so much more inspired, liberated, joyful, just by going through removing things and just by having that awareness. So if you haven't done this already, I highly recommend you start getting on the case, getting rid of 20% of your stuff on a regular basis, because every time you do that, you allow in all this fresh new energy into your life, new, more abundance, more things.
Mm.
Such a joy.
Mm. Yeah. So the other facet of the question, basically, you know, she's, it looks to me like she's asking, you know, in a way, should she get involved in generating money? Because she's not generating anything. Her husband's earning all the money and she spends all the money. He has, what she terms the wrong energy about it. And, she's just spending it and, she thinks about money in an abundant way. So, I guess, you know, we're all about creating our realities here in the superhero training. It's fun, to, generate your own, income stream. It's fun to, use your, superhero powers to generate abundance. And it's very empowering, to be self-sufficient. It's something I've experienced many, many, many times in my life, personally, and also coaching, people, that when they get confidence in generating their own, income, especially if they're doing, you know, some kind of service and bringing value to somebody else's life, or creating things that, you know, that they're really passionate about. It's a wonderful, feeling to receive, energy back in the form of money for that. It's great and great vibes. It's very empowering. And, so I would definitely encourage you if you are, inspired in any way, shape or form to do that, to play with that, to, utilize the resources and the protocols that we're sharing with you in the superhero training, and get into it with that.
Absolutely, it's a fascinating topic, and I think the essence of it all is that money is not a thing; it's just something that is in the middle between real things. Like if you offer a service to somebody, like if you want to create money, well, you're not really creating money, you're adding value to someone's life, you're helping someone or helping something, and in exchange they're helping you back. That's really what's happening. You're helping and they appreciate that and they give you something back. That's just really what's going on. Money is just this thing in the middle. And it's worth realizing that most wealthy people, in fact, all wealthy people, don't have the money in the bank. They haven't got billions of dollars in the bank. They have assets. They have gold and houses, real estate, stocks, and things like that. They don't actually have it in money. So I would get out of this idea that money in itself is something that you want to have, and just think assets are things that you want to have. Education is the most valuable asset to you. Knowledge is actually the greatest asset. So you guys investing in the superhero training, I have invested in them one of the most smartest assets you possibly could ever have, because knowledge is power, and you're getting more and more of that as you do this training. So have fun with it. We'll talk more about this, of course. These are very deep things, and hopefully what we've shared so far you can apply. Definitely get rid of some of your stuff so that you allow in energy for new things. It really brings a lot of joy. I've noticed that Michelle Smith is on the line. Michelle, are you on the line to say hello to us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, good. How are you?
Very well, very well. So, is there something you'd love to share with us?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks again for a great program. I've done, you know, pretty much everything that's out there, and this program is really starting. I'm seeing the effects of doing the practices and starting to see major changes happening in my life, which has been awesome. And I just wanted to give an example of one that you guys have talked about before of when, you know, you're kind of in the moment of an idea and going through and doing the action when you have that burst of energy of a new idea, because it can propel you forward so quickly. And I learned that because for years I wanted to do a type of blog talk radio show, you know, about spirituality and consciousness. And for 2 years I thought about it. And so a couple months ago I was driving to work thinking, you know, what's the fear, what's holding me back, et cetera, et cetera. And it was interesting. It's like, well, because I don't know how to do it. I have no idea how to get on to the, you know, to the program to be able to do a radio show. I don't know how to do it. Well, so I came home that night. I locked myself in my room, and I pulled out my computer, and within 12 minutes I had figured it out, and I was laughing hysterically. It's like, oh, my God, this is so easy. I had no idea that it was this easy. And so that was like at 7 o'clock at night. So at 8:30 in the morning the next day I did my first show. So I was just elated that, you know, it's so important that when you get those positive, inspiring ideas, I understand the importance now of the thrust of the energy that comes behind it if you move on it. Instead of getting stuck in the fear, which I was there for 2 years, and I kind of laugh at that now. It's like 2 years I could have been doing this. So that's been amazing. And then the two meditations, the meditation at morning at night, you know, when you guys told us to start doing it morning and night and you gave us the ideas of which ones to do, that has been such a valuable tool because it's been helping in the sense of, you know, wanting to do a major career change. And then, you know, in the morning or late at night, I'm all pumped up about it. And then during the day, I kind of falter with it. Like the ego comes back up and says, you know, there's no way you can make this change. It's not possible. And I'm finding that I no longer believe that story anymore. And I really attribute it to, obviously, the two meditations and being really focused on those meditations. I mean, you hear it all the time from people, like, it's really about meditation. You really need to focus on meditation. But until you do it and you do it on a more consistent basis, that you start to really feel differently, you know, just connecting, you know, with the universe and then letting the ideas flow from it. So those two things have just been truly amazing, and I just wanted to share that because I was very excited, and I love it when you guys give your examples of your life, too, and the examples that you guys give, like in the last video, I don't know where everybody's at in this conference call, but the last video for us was about how when you're meeting people and, like, your family members and they're not where you're at, and instead of coming through, you know, with your fist in the air, like, you've got to believe what I believe, like accepting them for where they're at. Those examples were perfect, perfect timing, and I think that those are really invaluable when you guys give your life examples for us.
Wonderful. More of it. We should really do more of it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michelle. This is wonderful to hear your experiences. You know, I really value that time when there's that energy, and I literally live my life on the basis of that entirely, because I can't, like, some days I just don't have any energy really to do anything apart from just sit around on the beach and just lie down and sleep in the sun and just not really do anything. And part of me is thinking, well, you've got all this stuff to do, you shouldn't be just doing that. But I'm like, look, I'm not inspired, I need to do something else. But then all of a sudden I get hit by this massive power, and I literally, it happens all the time, I'm literally running off the beach with these mad ideas in my head. I've got to do this thing right now. And I jump in the car and I'm on it hardcore for like 8 hours. And that's just the way that it goes, you know. And so I really appreciate that you've trusted that part of you and you see the power of it. It's wonderful. It really is.
Yeah, I like that. And it's a good follow-up from the meditation question as well. The meditation, you bring in the power in, and then you've got to do something with that power. You know, we're here, this is what superheroes do. We're here to express and demonstrate that power in the world. And the thing is, you know, courage is one of the first qualities of the spiritual warrior, and you need to have the courage to try things and you know, be prepared to make mistakes and, you know, and adjust and whatnot, but don't be afraid to try stuff and have a go, especially if you don't know, you know, all the answers about how it's going to work out, how it's going to unfold, who, you know, how it's all going to come about. Just have a go at stuff and you know, make it fun, and you'll find that lots and lots and lots of good energy moves with us. You know, there's a tremendous amount of of grace and power and invisible support for everything that we're doing individually and as a collective group, because it's you know, the world's crying out for this kind of these kind of individuals to express in their own unique ways.
Yay, well done, Michelle. What a superhero.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, keep it up. Many people will be served through what you're doing, so that's great. And, you know, the whole point of this training, by the way, just in case anyone's forgotten this, is that we want you guys to do stuff like what Michelle's doing, to go out there and make a difference and do the stuff that you've been putting off and manifest your visions, because the world needs you to be creating and doing the stuff that you love to do and sharing your gifts. So the whole point of this training, really, is that you become sufficiently empowered and energized so that you just go out there and just get on with it. And, you know, if you get an inspiration to do something, totally trust that and just, like Nick's saying, just have a go. It doesn't matter if you make a few mistakes here and there, because we learn making mistakes and getting feedback. So, you know, Nick and myself have made plenty of mistakes and done all sorts of ridiculous things, but we've learned along the way, and now we're helping as many people as we can. So go ahead and give yourself permission just to have a go from now on.
Mm-hmm. And also one little thing I'd like to add to that, Mike, if I can, is that, you know, the meditation, it's like, When you meditate, you immerse yourself, you kind of take yourself out of the world and all your worldly concerns, and you immerse yourself in your spiritual source and the source of your spiritual nourishment, which is essentially enlightening and illuminating. So it enlightens your mind, it illuminates your psyche. It also fills you with a renewing power that gives you energy to express that power, the power of love through service, through your, you know, your own unique dharma. So when you've done your meditation and then you've got your inspiration, you've got your vision, and then you're going to get on with it, that's the time when you're getting on with it to just stop every now and again and just take those breaths and just tap in again. And you can tap in and just ask for a little guidance and just be able to trim your course while you're, you know, you've left the harbor and you're setting your sails and off you go. You don't have to cross the whole ocean. You can just tap in and ask for a little guidance anytime you want. And you can do that, and we recommend that, to do that, you know, several times a day. Ideally, every hour, in a sense. Just stop, just take a few breaths, just check in, and just feel how close that guidance is, because it's always there, and it's but we ignore it, and so we don't really, you know, feel it and get the benefit of it.
Absolutely, yeah, that really makes everything you do become easier, more powerful, and more graceful, and get the ego, I did it, out of the way, and it allows just things to happen that are supposed to happen without really it being anything to do with you. Because ultimately, as superheroes, you know, you're not here to support your own ego. You're here to do as much service as you can in the world and allow that grace to flow through you and make things happen. So just trust that. And as you trust it, it becomes easier and easier, and it just gradually becomes an absolute way of living. Yay. So we're open to a few questions, if there are any extra questions today. If anyone is on the call who would love to share, then you can press *2, and we can unmute you, and you can say hello if you're inspired. We've got quite a few people online, live. Anyone who's on their computer, wherever you are in the world, in this wonderful technology that we can talk to each other through these things. So if anyone's on their computers, then they can type in questions in that little box, and we'd be happy to answer them. So just, here we go. Who have we got here? Alison Smith. Hello, Alison. Is it Alison?
Hello, this is Ashley. Ashley Smith, aloha. Hi, Nick and Michael. Thank you for this call.
Yeah.
As with all the other calls. I have a question about the time we're in. And this is just, my background is from reading The Holy Science by Sri Yukteswar. And the 26,000-year cycle, I suppose, of our sun around another sun. And just to be quick, I mean, from where he's saying we are in the yugas, we're in the Dwapara Yuga, we're still very materialistic, still very base. And from my calculations, we have about 10,489 years left until our pinnacle, when we are, I mean, when every human on earth can readily discern, you know, matters of the spirit, even comprehend God himself, according to this book. So my question, I guess, is, are we that far off? I mean, are we really that far away? Or can we use the energy of this time in history right now, combined with our mutual intention, to usher in, like, the global enlightenment?
I'd like to just say something about that. I personally, I have reason to believe that we are, in fact, at the end of the Iron Age, you know, Kali-Yuga, rather than this book's talking about being, you know, some 10,000 years away from it. We are on the pinnacle of the Age of Enlightenment right now. And these next few years that we're in, these next few years to few decades, is going to be the deciding factor of this whole thing. So if you imagine speeding up this model that this guy is talking about massively and put yourself right there at the pinnacle point where you can recognize God, recognize truth right now, I would personally say that is where we are actually at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we've got 10,000 years left. You know, from depending on who you talk to, various Hindus would say there's 40,000 years left. There's all sorts of different opinions about this. My personal feeling is that we've probably got somewhere between 1 to 10 years, depending on various things, to get it together. And, you know, there's earthquakes going on the East Coast right now, which is unprecedented. And the global economy is just on the edge of collapse and has been for a while. So I'm not waiting around for 10,000 years and many, many more lifetimes. As far as I'm concerned, this is the time to ascend right now and to tap into the power and to call forth the newness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Don't wait.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, imagine just literally, like, I would personally say to you, consider this could be your, today could be your last day today of this cycle, let alone even a year. Do you know what I mean? If this was it, if this was the last day tonight for you and that was it, you know, would you be happy? Just have that level of certainty, that level of seriousness about this. And really, really go hardcore. Don't wait around for anything.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Glad you asked that question, because those sort of books can really put people in a state of total complacency, and then they totally miss the point. So nothing against the author. Sure, he's got some reason to say what he said. But if anyone is thinking they got 10,000 years to get it together, I would say you've got 10 minutes to get it together, you know?
Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. And also, you know, we need the courage and, you know, the courage to try things and do things. And you're never going to feel like, you know, totally confident and that you know it all. And, you know, we're always learning and the process is always on. So, yeah, And also, the more I feel, the more we tap into what we're tapping into, the more, awe-inspiring it is, and in a way, overwhelming and amazing. And I think having that blending that sense of vulnerability and innocence and newness, fragility with confidence and faith and belief and courage is a real part of it. It's a very fascinating alchemy that we have to balance all the time with this thing. But you've always got the power. It's always there in any moment to tap into, and it's not like you do this for years and years and years and years and years, and all these exercises and whatnot, and you develop this ability. It's always there inside you, so you can access it any time. But it's just, will you do that? So, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Beautiful question. Mm-hmm. Right, we got a couple more questions here. That was good, really good one. Thank you. Wake up call for everyone there. In case anyone thought they had 10,000 years to chill out. So we got one from Derek, who is he's asking how to differentiate truth from falsehood. That's a wonderful question. Brother Nick, any feedback on that straight off?
How to differentiate truth from falsehood?
Good question, yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on what the circumstances are, but generally speaking, you have a built-in, the difference, if you tap into that place within you, you're going to feel your response to it. What Mike was saying before about, the way you use your money and what you're buying in, you can tap into, your conscience is going to guide you. Your ego is just going to run amok and waste time, waste energy, waste resources. That's a specialist for that. But if you, if you tune in and into your guidance and just ask yourself and just take a breath and feel, you can absolutely feel whether you're in resonance with something. And David Hawkins, who we mentioned very often, he's got that down to a fine art with all of his muscle testing, his kinesiology, where they basically the arm goes weak if it's a statement of falsehood or it's strong if it's a statement of truth. Well, that's just the arm, but all of your cells in your body, there's an energy in your body, your very spirit will communicate to you what's in integrity and what's out of integrity. And it's up to you to listen to that and to feel that. And so you've got a built-in guide that's communicating to you 24/7, very sophisticated technology. And if you ignore it, that's where you're going to suffer and get your ass kicked. But if you listen to it, that's where you're going to get your guidance, and that's where you're going to know what's true for you, not necessarily for somebody else, but for you. What would you say, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's good just to understand what truth even is, because we have these words truth and then falsehood, right? And it sounds as if there's one thing and another thing. But in reality, there is only truth or non-truth. Because, for example, you can't... You're in a room that's in the daytime, right, and it's light. Like I'm sitting here, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's light coming in. I can't add darkness to the room. There's no light switch that I have that's going to, like a dark switch that I turn and add darkness. All I can do is cover up the light, put curtains around all the windows and stop the light coming in. But I can't actually add darkness. If it's dark in a room, you can turn light on, and you can have a blending switch of going from low light up to full light, and you can vary the amount of light, but you can't add darkness. So you've either got reality, something that's real and truthful, or you've got something that isn't. And this is an important thing to consider, that you, falsehood is not something that exists in on its own. It's only non-truth. And when you basically take the time and invest energy in asking the question, what is truth, what is truth, what is truth, and you constantly have this going on, I have vested interest in truth. I want to know what the truth is. I'm not interested in being right. I'm not interested in having my opinion always being right. I'm not interested in holding my ideas, thinking I know everything. But I am interested in truth. When you start talking to yourself in that way, you just want to know the truth, you want to know the truth. You're going to find out what it is. It's your best interest in truth. But when you want to be right, when you want to prove yourself right, then of course your actual real interest in truth isn't genuine. And your investigations in truth are massively compromised. And I would, you know, rather than giving too much time to this right now, I recommend that you personally buy the book by David Hawkins, which is actually called Truth versus Falsehood. Truth versus Falsehood by Dr. David Hawkins. It's a big fat book. And he goes on and on and on about this subject in great detail. I have two copies of that book. I find it extremely interesting. It has calibrations of all sorts of things from all the literature, all the spiritual teachings. A lot of the stuff that we talk about, we're saying about high frequency things. I've used that book and other books of his to see how high frequency various teachings are, you know. How high vibration is the Gita, how high vibration is Bible, Quran, all the New Age stuff, everything is in that book. And, whether or not you believe everything he says 100% is another matter, but I've personally found that tremendously useful to me in my personal interest in truth and knowing the difference. So buy the book, and that will supply you with more detailed answers and examples we can't really go into right now. Cool. But I'd love to talk more about it another time, and go ahead and get that book. Truth versus Falsehood by David Hawkins. Get it on Amazon. Last question we have is from Christian, who's asking, how do you turn the page on a recent breakup? Well, Nick, do you want to answer that?
You're breaking up a bit, Mike. What was the question?
Okay. The question is how to turn the page on a recent breakup.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's always a toughie. Basically, there's a karmic connection involved that which when you do break up, there's a sort of a period where you need to absorb the lessons and integrate the experience and very often lick your wounds. What I've found in my experiences is that it's very important to have a sense of completion where you're both really comfortable with that. And that can be, I really encourage like a little sort of a ceremonial ritualistic setting, which might be as simple as just sitting down with your ex-partner with a candle between you. And just honoring each other and thanking each other, blessing each other and forgiving each other and bringing all of your energy back into yourself. Because one of the reasons why breakup is so difficult and painful is because we invest so much of ourselves into this other individual. Very, very, very real phenomenon this, where we literally put our energy into them and they put their energy into us. We hear of many, many, many times over in codependent relationships where one or both of the partners give their power away. And that's literally where, we idolize the other person and, we dote on them and we make them, we give them power over us in terms of what they do makes us happy or makes us sad or whatever. So what we need to do is bring our energy back into ourselves. So what I would encourage, if you can't do it with if you can't do it face to face, then do it by writing a letter and just create a ceremonial ritualistic setting where, like I just said before, you bless each other, forgive each other, honor each other, thank each other, and then say, you know, I now bring all of my energy back into me, and literally imagine and breathe and meditate on it and bring all your energy back into yourself. Really wish them well, bless them, and let them go. And and hopefully they'll do that to you. If one of you isn't able to let go, which is very often the case, this is why it can take a while to get over relationships and you don't feel so good. If one isn't letting go, then you need to sort of cut the cords. See yourself chopping the cords with a sword in your imagination, or a burning flames of fire, just burning all these things off, cauterizing them, bringing all your energy back into you, and setting the other person free. And this needs to be done on a deep level, and it's a very wonderful and healing thing to do. So that's my 10 cents on it. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, beautiful thing. I'll share, you know, an exact specific personal story. I actually did this myself back in April, which is about 4 months ago now. And the person I broke up with, I have a wonderful relationship now, a lot of love, and no funny feelings at all, and just all good vibrations. And I'm actually quite amazed at how well it's turned out afterwards. And this is exactly what I did. I said to her that we should have the ceremony, like what Nick's saying. And so what we did is we both wrote each other a letter about what we appreciated in each other and all the things that we learned. So I wrote everything I learned from her and everything I learned in the relationship, all the good things. Nothing bad, just all the things that I learned, everything I appreciated. And we also bought each other a gift, which is like a symbol of our love for each other, and also a symbol that we're no longer together, and this is like a kind of finishing thing. So it's on one hand a gift, and on the other hand an end. So it's to remind, in a sense, to remind of the other person not being there, but having it finished. So it's a very important gift. And also to write a list of things, that problems or unresolved stuff that we have that we want to let go of. And so I had a letter and a gift and some stuff that I wanted to basically burn, to finish. So we met up on the beach. And I hadn't seen her for ages, so it was quite emotional. And we just sat, you know, had looked into each other's eyes for a bit, and it was just, just a touching, intimate experience. And then we gave each other the letters, and we read them, and gave each other a gift. It took a little while, and it was a bit emotional, and hugs and kisses and everything, a little bit of tears, and then we made a little fire and burnt these pieces of paper of stuff that we didn't want anymore, and then we jumped in the ocean and had a little swim in the ocean, let it all go. Actually, there was some stuff, like we had some sort of like things that represented engagement and like connection and stuff like that, and we threw them in the ocean. So they were all gone. And by the end of that, it was just super good vibe, clarity about where we wanted to go in the future, blessings to each other. And it was just so easy and beautiful and graceful. And genuinely felt complete. It was complete. And I wasn't thinking about anything in my head and worrying about stuff and freaking out after that. It was done. The cords were chopped. It was finished, it was official, it was good vibes, it was clear, there was evidence that it was ended, there was appreciation, there was forgiveness, everything that, like Nick was saying,
was all there. It took about, I don't know, like an hour or maybe 2 hours at the most. I wasn't really keeping track, but it, you know, it wasn't like long, long, long-winded, unpleasant thing. It was very deep, and it was done. So that's what I would recommend. Worked extremely well for me, and you know, because basically both people want to feel good afterwards. You know, you obviously got together because you loved each other, so there is love there. And it's time to move on, which is also great. So that's what I would personally recommend. And I'd love to hear how it goes.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. And also, you know, things take time when it comes to relationships. And if you've been in a relationship for a long time, especially if it's been, you know, emotionally charged and a lot of love and, you know, and it's been difficult breaking up or something. I mean, breaking up's never easy. You know, it needs time just to integrate. So don't be, you know, rushing into anything new and look at it from depth and really honor, and it's a lot easier when a bit of time's passed, especially if, you know, you've given each other, you know, good reason to break up, or you've spent too much time together. Some of us, you know, hang in relationships that are, you know, going downhill for, you know, quite some time, and we could have, on reflection, it might have been a you know, much better idea to break up, you know, a lot earlier. When those kinds of things are in the mix, you know, and if there's a little resentment in there or whatnot, it's not the easiest to see each other in that higher light and genuinely honor each other with, you know, massive integrity. Usually one is a little slower to come to that part than the other. So just take your time and think about it and tune into that higher guidance from your higher self, meditate on it, and get the clarity and just create a beautiful little ceremony, and you'll have a lovely, lovely, wonderful experience.
Mm, absolutely. And I'll just add to that, recommend that, this will happen to me anyway, and it was good. It happened naturally, but looking back, I think it's good advice for anyone in this situation, is after that ceremony, I basically didn't see her for about 2 months at all. No contact whatsoever, no emails or text messages or anything. Just didn't bump into her. She lives on the same island, you can easily bump in, but I just didn't see her. And it was good. So it was like that was clear, done. It's almost like she didn't exist. Then after about 2 months, you know, I contacted her for some reason. I just thought, I haven't seen this person for ages. I used to hang out with her every day. So we went to the beach, drank some of my wonderful elixirs and just had a nice chat on the beach. It was just really pleasant as a friend, and it really felt like she was a good friend, you know, and there's still that love was there and that kind of connection was there, but it didn't have all that funny business because there was a good chunk of time of no contact at all and no bad feelings either. It was just done. So, yeah, really allow that time, that space, get to know yourself as you are on your own, and you know, it's a beautiful opportunity for growth and moving forward. So yeah, blessings to you, Christian, for this, and you'll come out the other side feeling much, much lighter, and everyone will benefit. Wonderful. So we haven't got any more questions, so let's just take a few breaths and let's remember that we are eternal beings of peace. Everyone here is actually a eternal light. No one can ever die. Everyone is already constantly peaceful, even if they're not aware of it. So let's just bring awareness to the fact that we are beautiful, peaceful beings. Eternally witnessing this experience we call life. Just noticing how your breath becomes soft and strong. Noticing yourself becoming a little bit more relaxed. And as you're breathing, noticing that sense of peace flowing all the way down from your crown chakra, like a wave of peace down your back, down your face, all the way down into your toes. Waves of peace. Letting go, letting go, letting go. You may notice a little smile coming on your face. If your heart is happy, and you know that your life is getting better and better every day. And I'd just like to encourage you to imagine your perfect state. How would you love to feel by the end of this training? What do you want to achieve? And just imagine that, feeling that way. See how you'd be smiling, see what you'd be doing. Just be in that moment of completion, of spiritual, mental, emotional, physical achievement. Just being your fullest self, easily, naturally. Doing what you love. Feeling the feelings that you enjoy, feeling peaceful, grounded, alive. I'd like to encourage you to bring that blueprint of your higher self, whether it's an image or a feeling or sounds, just bring those beautiful experiences into you right now, as if you're breathing that vision into your being, into your body. And you are becoming that right now, right here, right now. You are radiant. You are able to sit up straight and have self-respect, power. Beautiful smile on your face. And know that everything you do on this training and in your life is benefiting you, helping you, moving you forward. And that each and every thought that you create is really moving you in the direction you want to go, creating beautiful, pure, powerful thoughts, holding the vision, allowing the energy of the group, superheroes, to support you, and just really focusing on having the best day ever, no matter what's going on. So keep smiling, everyone. Stay happy. You're all wonderful beings. We have so much love for you, don't we, Brother Nick?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's wonderful. And great things to come. The best is yet to come. And, life's just really, really, really there for us to experience an extraordinary reality is this wondrous time we're all sharing unfolds.
Yay. So well done, everyone. Keep smiling. Stay happy. Keep focusing on what you love. Follow your joy. And we'll talk to you very soon.
Mm-hmm. Aloha.
Bye.